This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome back, everybody, to Game Misconduct for the 2019-2020 season. I'm Don LaGreca. We finally worked out everything during the offseason, and we're good to go for this year. And I couldn't be happier to begin this new season with a Western Conference preview and my guy from NHL.com, Dan Rosen. How are you, buddy?
I'm great, man. How are you?
Good. Happy New Year, both in your faith and in your hockey.
Thank you very much. That's right. Good. I like that. That's perfect.
Yeah, you're the perfect person to have on the launch of this season. But we wanted to begin with the Western Conference. I think both conferences are fascinating, and the West certainly is no exception. Everybody seems to be high on Colorado. Looking at a lot of the predictions, the prognostications, that seems to be the team everybody is targeting. They had the amazing year last year, one of the best players in the National Hockey League. Are you as high on the Avalanche as everybody else seems to be?
Yeah, I am. I really like Colorado. The only thing that gets me a little skittish, and I could say the same thing about any team in the division, is the Central Division is just loaded.
Yeah.
You know, it's just loaded top to bottom, and I think those teams might end up beating each other up, and it might make for an easier path to the end for a Pacific Division team. But for now, let's just look at what we know now. I mean, Nathan MacKinnon is just a terrific player. Landeskog fits. They got Rantanen signed. It's a great top line. I love what they did. They recognize Cale Makar can play Tyson Barrie's minutes. And Cale Makar is my pick to be the Calder Trophy winner this year. I think he's just phenomenal. Last season, by the way, he goes in. He basically didn't even know the defensive coverages. He was just kind of playing by the seat of his pants in the playoffs, and he looked pretty good. Now he's going to have all the training camp and the defensive coverages, all that stuff down. So I really like them. I like the fact that they were able to recognize that Cale Makar can play Tyson Barrie's minutes. So they move Tyson Barrie, and they fill a position of need, which is center. Nazem Kadri was a very good number two center for the Toronto Maple Leafs. He didn't produce nearly as much as a number three behind Matthews and Tavares last year. Should be back up at the number two spot behind MacKinnon. It's a great spot to be in. I think the only question with Colorado really right now is their goaltending.
Yeah.
Philip Grubauer's never been a number one for the entire season, but there's only one way to do it. You got to do it.
I'm liking Dallas. They had a great year last year. You add a Pavelski, which I think is the exact fit for them from a leadership standpoint, kind of been there, done that. As you said, same division. They can kind of gobble each other up. But how you feeling about the Stars?
Yeah, I think it's very interesting what Dallas did. They go the opposite direction. This is a league that year over year over year is getting younger,
right.
Older. You know, 33 is old in the NHL right now. Well, they went out and got Pavelski, who's in his 30s. They went out and got Corey Perry, who's in his 30s, and Andre Sequeira, who's in his 30s. So they went three veterans. Now, Perry and Sequeira just one-year deals. Pavelski gets a three-year deal, but they like the youth that they have, and they feel they needed to give Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin a little bit extra in the leadership department. So Pavelski's perfect. He'll fit right in. And he is not a guy who's going to come in and rock any boat. He's not going to be asking for too much. He's going to play his role. He's going to be deflecting pucks on the power play as well or better than anybody else in the National Hockey League, because that's what he does to score goals. And he's going to fit right in. I agree with you. I like them. They have the defense and the goaltending, too. They were terrific defensively and in net last year with Ben Bishop. Miro Heiskanen's the real deal.
Yeah.
Last year. John Klingberg's the real deal. You know, Esa Lindell, too, on their back end. They have a lot to like. But, again, it's the division. That division, the Central Division. I think the Metropolitan Division is the best in the top to bottom, is the best in the Eastern Conference. In the Central, there's no question about it, is the best in the Western Conference.
And sticking in the Central Division, because you start looking at the teams that missed the playoffs last year and could they take the jump, you know, Chicago's interesting to me because if Crawford's healthy all year, they might be a playoff team last year.
Yeah.
But they went and improved some areas, but it really came at the expense. I mean, some very important players are out the door, you know. So I'm wondering just how you feel about, you know, second year head coach making some changes, still having a dynamic offense, but do they have the blue line to be competitive in that division?
Well, that's the question. And I mean, they bring in Olli Maatta, who should help on the blue line. You know, he's going to pair with Brent Seabrook. That's a nice pair, but Seabrook to me is, you know, he certainly passed his prime. He isn't what he once was. And I don't know that Olimata can make up for some of the lack of foot speed that Brent Seabrook has. So it can be a good pair, but it also can be a pair that gets beaten by a fast line, you know, by a speedy team. That pair can be dangerous. You know, you might hesitate to want those guys out there. But look, you're right. A lot of it comes down to goaltending. Their goaltending, you know, wasn't very good last year. They bring in Robin Lehner. They like the 1A, 1B with Corey Crawford and Robin Lehner. And look, if Robin Lehner is for Chicago what he was for the New York Islanders last year, then maybe Chicago is a playoff team.
But right.
They can score, and we saw it last year. I don't know that they're going to be able to defend the same, you know, as well, and I don't know if their offense is going to be as good as it was last year. You had career numbers from Kane and from Taves and from DeBrincat last year. Is that going to happen again? Is Dylan Strom going to put up career numbers again? I mean, that's a lot to ask.
Yeah.
For 4, 5, 6 players to put up career years yet again, because I think that's what it's going to take for the Blackhawks to they're going to have to outscore some of their defensive issues. They couldn't quite do it last year. They were better in the second half, really slow at the start. But that's asking a lot, I think.
Yeah, Schmaltz, Yuki Haru, and of course, Anisi Molf all exit Chicago as well. So some of those moves did come at the expense of some decent and talented players that were on the team last year. Just to wrap up the bottom of the Central before we go to the heavy hitters, Minnesota, I wish nothing but the best for Bill Guerin. I think he's terrific. I think that was a good hire.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that are going on. I think they're just a team in transition right now, and I just don't know if they're even a team that can compete as closely as they did last year for a playoff spot.
Yeah, I question it too. I like the fact that they get Matt Dumba back healthy. Matt Dumba was taken off last year before his pectoral muscle injury that cost him the season. He cost him the second half of the season, basically. So he was coming on really good. Jarrett Spurgeon's excellent. Their D is solid. It really is. But they're old down the middle. Mikko Koivu coming off a knee injury. Eric Staal's getting up there.
Yeah.
They're not deep there. You know, what's Ryan Donato? What's Kevin Fiala? These guys are part of the youth movement that they started with last year. Are they going to take the next big jump in their careers? I mean, Kevin Fiala has to do it at this point. He had a 19-goal season a couple of years ago with Nashville, and he regressed last year, got traded. Now is he going to be able to come back? Because they need the goals. That's my point, is they need these guys. Jordan Greenway, they need the goals because their defense is fine and their goaltending is good with Devan Dubnyk. But they're a team in transition 100%. They need some youth down the middle. They need. I think Billy Guerin's out there scouring, trying to find himself another center. Very difficult to do, but he's aggressive, and I think the hire is a good hire because you know he's going to be aggressive. And Billy was a player's player. He was a big player guy, but now I've seen him at various games. He is a big time see the league, scout the league, know the league guy. Like he does his homework as a GM, and so I think it's a good hire. So it's going to be interesting,
absolutely,
I suppose, but tough. For them in the Central Division.
Yeah, they're also bad at home last year. That's always a really bad sign. They were a couple of games under 500, and that's including all the shootout and overtime losses. And I think Bill's a good hire as well. He's done his work, right? This is not something that was handed to him. He's worked in the league for a while. I thought maybe Edmonton would tap into him when they made the change at general manager, but good job out of Minnesota to do that. Let's go to the heavy hitters, Nashville, Winnipeg, and St. Louis. St. Louis didn't have to do a lot after winning the Stanley Cup, but Justin Falk is a tremendous addition. I don't think they really had to give up too much of the current roster. We'll see what happens in the future, but I think the perfect addition for a team that didn't really have to retool after winning a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, it is. When you look at the right side of their D now with Colton Parayko, Alex Pietrangelo, and Justin Falk, it doesn't get better than that on the right side of your defense right now. And when you have Bo Meester and Gunnarsson and Vince Dunn on your left, you have a tremendous defense.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest question, and it's funny that it is Jordan Binnington. Is he going to be able to do it again? Because you remember how good this guy had to be last year for St. Louis to get into the playoffs, and that was because they had a terrible start. I'm not asking him to be the 927, 928 goalie that he was in the second half of the regular season, but can he do it again? Is complacency at all going to sit in? I don't see it, and I don't think Craig Berube, their coach, is going to let complacency set in. He's not that type of guy. He's a hard-driving type of coach, and it obviously works for them. They have everybody back except for who's not back. Patrick Maroon is not back, and and Joel Edmondson, who they traded for Justin Falk, not back. So they're set up to be good again. But we say this all the time, you know. Oh, they're set up to be good. They're set up for another run. We were saying the same thing about Washington last year, and they go out in the first round against Carolina. They were good in the regular season, but they go out in the first round. We did say it a year before against with Pittsburgh, and they did do it. So it can happen. I mean, they're set up right there to do it. But I still think the biggest question is in net, even though Jordan Binnington proved it last year.
Yeah, and then you got Winnipeg, which they lose Trouba to the Rangers. Buffalo's still up in the air. What's going to happen there? I mean, and listen, I like Hullabuck. I just don't know if he's, you know, a really big-time goaltender in this league. You lose two pieces on the blue line. And did get line A done, which was, I think, important, and they got it done in time for the start of the season. But where are they defensively? And, you know, they took a huge step back last year, if you remember, when they got bounced in the first round of the playoffs and just didn't seem to be the same team all year after going to the conference final. How do you feel about Winnipeg?
Good luck, because they're losing. They could potentially not have their top 4D last year back, or four of their top 5D. They have Morrissey back, but Trouba's with the Rangers. Obviously, Tyler Myers is with Vancouver. Sure. Ben Chiarot is with Montreal. Mm-hmm. And we don't know about Byfuglien right now. And if Byfuglien's, I think Byfuglien is not going to be there at the start. You know, I think I just keep thinking back to what Scott Niedermayer and Timo Solani did with Anaheim not long, you know, about a decade ago, where it was like they didn't play in the first half of the year and then they came back. I could see that happening with Byfuglien, but in the Central Division, where you start four of their first five games are on the road. They start against the Rangers and the Devils and the Islanders in New York area. If you start slow, good luck making up for it. I know it's an 82 game grind.
Yeah.
But you get up behind in the first six, seven, eight games, very difficult to come back from. I mean, St. Louis proved you can do it, but that's not the norm. And I worry about them. Liney didn't have a training camp. Kyle Connor didn't have a training camp. How are these guys going to integrate early?
It's true.
What are they going to do about their D? And is Connor Hellebuck going to be able to make up for it? Because I think he's a good goaltender with a good D.
That's
I don't
the thing.
Think he's that type of a goalie who makes up for all the types of mistakes that could be made in front, ahead of him.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there in Winnipeg. I like their team, but that's a lot to lose in such a difficult division, like you said, to be able to lose all that on the blue line. That's important. You know, Pionk's going to be nice for them, but I looked at him with the Rangers covering him. I mean, that's a guy that's going to have some offensive skills, but he's not a shutdown defenseman at this stage of his career by any stretch of the imagination. Winnipeg had the best goal differential in the conference last year, and it was still only good enough to finish in second place. I mean, so any kind of step back there, you can drop right out of the playoffs for sure.
Yeah. I mean, Josh Morrissey might play 40 minutes a game.
Right.
Honestly, I'm not kidding. He obviously won't, but 30 wouldn't be shocked with the way Josh, you know.
Well,
it's a tough go when you lose that much on D already, and now you don't know about your big guy, Byfuglien. Mm-hmm. He's going to be around.
And then you got Nashville, which is still a major player, not that far removed from going to a Stanley Cup. They had to make some tough decisions as well. PK Subban, you know, one of the biggest guys that are gone. Some of the players that they, you know, tried to acquire at the trading deadline to make a run, also gone, a.k.a. Wayne Simmonds. So how do you feel about Nashville, the perennial front runner in this conference?
Yeah.
Can they stop from taking that step back the way Winnipeg has?
Solid. They're just a solid team. What's interesting to me, and Peter Laviolette is a terrific coach. He's taken a number of teams, three teams to the Stanley Cup final. But Peter Laviolette, like John Tortorella, like a few others, their coaching style eventually runs its course. And that's my one concern with Nashville this year. Is Peter Laviolette's coaching style going to run its course there? I don't know that for a fact, so I have to look at what we know about Nashville and say, this is a solid team. Yes, they lose PK Subban. Dante Fabro, don't sleep on him. He's a solid rookie defenseman. But they also have Josi and Ekholm and Ellis, and they're going to ride those guys. And the goaltending is solid with Pekka Rinne. And they get Duchesne, who fills a huge hole for them at number two center behind Ryan Johansson. And he's a puck retriever on the power play. Their power play was brutal last year.
Yeah.
It's like 12.5%. Matt Duchesne's going to help that power play because he's a guy who plays low on the power play. And if he'll go get the puck behind the net. He'll go get the missed shot into the puck that goes into the corner too. He's a puck retriever, and that's a key thing to keep possession on the power play. Duchesne helps your team do that. So what we know about them, I like everything about them. It's just I do wonder, is is Peter Laviolette's coaching staff.
Yeah, no, we've seen it everywhere. We've seen it everywhere, and the success, Carolina, obviously Philadelphia. We saw it with the Islanders, and, yeah, he might be just teetering there where this could be a huge season for Nashville. Over to the Pacific Division, Calgary was the best team last year. All kinds of concerns about their goaltending, but it wasn't the goaltending that knocked them out of the first round of the playoffs. I mean, that's going to happen. That's hockey, right? And then they made a subtle change. I mean, I'm not sure it's an improvement, really. You know, you still have Rittich back there, but then you have Cam Talbot, who really hasn't done anything outside of that half year in New York and that first year in Edmonton. So how do you feel about the Flames repeating as the Pacific Division champions?
Yeah, I don't like them to repeat, but I think that they're going to be okay. I like David Rittich. I really do. Yeah. I think he came on nicely last year when Mike Smith was struggling, and it was right for Bill Peters to give him a bunch of starts at some point. Mike Smith played very well in net in the playoffs, so I got to give him that. He's now with Edmonton, but I like David Rittich. I'm not a big fan of Cam Talbot. But in a 1B role, maybe that suits Cam Talbot better than in a number one role that he was in Edmonton for a couple of years. So I'm okay with them. They have the offense. I think they're going to score. You know what they did last year, though, and I think they'll be hard-pressed to repeat it, is they scored a ton of third-period goals.
Yeah.
Like, a ton. I don't know the number, but they were dominant in the third period. A lot of comebacks, too. So I question if that can happen again. Mark Giordano's not going to have the same type of year that he had last year. Terrific defenseman, won the Norris Trophy, but it's asking a lot for him at 34, 35 years old to be able to do that again, another career year. But they're a solid team. They're going to be right in the mix. And, you know, that's kind of what you're looking for out of Calgary, because obviously you win the division, it doesn't really matter.
No.
You're losing five games in the first round.
No, it's incredible. But they were a fun team to watch, and best goal differential in the conference. Tremendous team, but just unfortunate for them that that first round, they just hit a buzzsaw and they just couldn't get out of it. San Jose,
Red Hawk, Colorado.
Older team, obviously. They lose Pavelski. You hope Evander Kane can continue to impress. But, you know, looking, if San Jose is going to be able to compete, to me, you know, they're going to need their younger guys to step up, because this is just a veteran-laden team. I'm not sure how much more you can really expect to get out of Couture and Burns and Thornton. So can they get another step from a Gaudreau? Can they get a little bit more from some of the younger players that they have on that team to improve off of what they've been the last couple of years?
Well, I think that's the thing that they need. You're right. Like, so Joe Pavelski leaves. He goes, they didn't want to give him a 3-year deal. And this is, you got to appreciate Doug Wilson for this. He doesn't want to have guys stay there too long. So I think they were only offering him a 2-year deal. He found the 3-year deal in Nashville. Thank you for your service to the San Jose Sharks. Good luck in Dallas.
Right.
Good luck in Dallas. Timo Meier scored 30 goals last year. He's going to play more this year. He's going to be on the top power play unit. He'll probably play some extra penalty killing. He's going to take over some of those minutes that Pavelski played. So last year, Timo Meier was at about 16 and a half minutes per game. It'd probably be up to 19, 20 minutes per game this year. 18 and a half, 19 and a half in that mix. Kevin LeBanc has to step up. These are their young guys that have to step up and take the next step. Meier took the next step last season. There's more to give because they're going to increase his role. Same thing with Kevin LeBanc. They're going to increase his role. But I think they can still get a lot out of Couture. I think they can still get a lot out of Burns and Erik Karlsson and these guys. I think they're solid.
Yeah.
The question, they had the worst goaltending of any playoff team last year. And I don't think you can, again, expect an 895 or whatever it is save percentage from your goaltending and Marty Jones being the number one guy and expect to be a team that can overcome that. Again, they need better goaltending. They're not a team that needs to have a 915 save percentage or better. Last year, I think the league average was 905. If they're there, 906, 907, they're fine. If they're below it, you know, some of these teams in the Pacific should be a little bit better. It's going to make it a little bit harder.
And now you've got Vegas in their third year, playoff team the first 2 years, Stanley Cup finalist 2 years ago. They didn't play very well at stretches. They didn't close out the season well, but they had the Sharks beat. Right, they're up three games to one. They had them beat. And so who knows what kind of run they would have went on again had they gone out of that first round against San Jose. You get a full year of Pacioretty. You get a full year of Stone. I really like this Vegas team a lot.
Yeah, you get a 5-minute major on Cody Eakin, whether it was a phantom or not. You got to. Nobody told you to give up four power play goals.
Exactly.
You don't get told to give up four power play goals. It's not the reason. The 5-minute major, you give up one, two, but four? Come on. You had a 3-0 lead in that game. And, by the way, they came back and tied it after they gave up.
That's right. The people forget about that in the analysis of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They came back and tied it with like 30 seconds left or whatever it was. I'm bullish on Vegas, though. I really am. I think they're terrific. I don't see a hole. I don't. If they have one, somebody has to show it to me because I don't see it. They Mark Stone is a terrific player. They're going to have him for a full season. Pacioretty's going to be better for that. Stastny is better for that. Carlson, Marchessault, Smith. I mean, up and down, they're really good. And their goaltending is as solid as any goaltending can be, with Marc-Andre Fleury expecting to get a ton of starts again. Now, if he gets hurt, we got a problem if you're Vegas. But I think you could say that about most teams with their number one goaltender. If they get hurt, we got a problem. I think they're terrific. I don't see a hole. I picked them to come out of the West to be in the Stanley Cup final, and I'd have to stick to it. Unless they have injuries, I don't see any reason why they shouldn't be right there.
Edmonton is an interesting story, right? Last couple of years have been a disappointment, but they go out and get a coach that's been known to get more out of teams than maybe he should in Dave Tippett. You've got the best player on the planet in Connor McDavid. They got, you know, a little change in goaltender with Smith. I mean, do you think this can be a year they can kind of get back to what they were 2 years ago?
Well, I think when I mentioned about San Jose, there's going to be some teams in the division that are better than they were last year. Edmonton is team I'm thinking about, and that I think they're going to be better. Is Mike Smith and Mikko Koskinen, are they going to be able to give them good enough goaltending to make up for some defensive deficiencies that they will have? I don't know about that. That's my big question with Edmonton. Health is another thing. They need to stay healthy. Klefbom, Nurse on defense, these guys have to stay healthy. Connor McDavid's coming off of a knee injury, but he looks fine. He's going to be fine. He'll be flying around the ice. They had a 50-goal scorer in Leon Draisaitl, too. Let's not forget about him. You know, they have good offense. If they can stay healthy and get league average, better than league average goaltending, I think that they can be right there fighting for a playoff spot. But the question, you know, I think that where you run into some issue is you look at the other division, and I think five teams go from the Central Division because it's that good.
Right.
And now you're left with three, if that's how it falls, in the Pacific to the playoffs. I think Vegas is a lock. I think San Jose is pretty close, and I think Calgary could be pretty close. So who does Edmonton bump to get there? I don't see it right now. I think they'll be better. Let's have this conversation in February, and I could be singing a completely different tune. But right now, I look at them and I say they're a dangerous team with the most dangerous player and a coach who has a track record of getting his teams on track. But are they going to be able to get over the hump to knock one of these teams out? And I don't know if they can do that.
And the same can be said for Arizona. They had a great year last year, almost got into the playoffs. They get themselves a legitimate score in Kessel, good young players. I'm just a little leery about their goaltending.
Well, if they're another one. If they stay healthy in net, and Antti Raanta has already had a bit of an injury in the preseason, and he's always seems to be, but if they stay healthy in net, Raanta and Darcy Kuemper, I mean, that's solid goaltending. And I would actually put a better chance for Arizona to get into the playoffs as a fourth team from the Pacific Division than I do for Edmonton. And the reason why is their goaltending, when healthy, is solid. Their defense is strong. They were a strong defensive team last year, and they didn't lose anything in that area. They didn't make the playoffs last year. They missed by 2 points last year because they couldn't score, especially down the stretch. They had a lot of guys, you know, Clayton Keller and Christian Dvorak and a number of players who were playing games in late March last year that they had never played before. And they have some of that experience, and they couldn't score in those games. I remember covering them against the Islanders at the Coliseum, and I remember I was talking to John McClain, their assistant coach, former Devil, and he's like, we just got a lot of guys who don't know how to play this type of hockey at this time of year yet, but they're learning. The only one way to figure it out, and it's learning. And he thought back to his 88 Devils team, you know, like, we had a lot of guys before that who were trying to figure it out.
Right.
Figured it out, and we went on a run, you know. And I think this could be a team that figures it out because they get the infusion of scoring from Phil Kessel. He is going to bring it every night, probably be a point per game player, probably play 82 games because that's what he does. And that might be the difference for Arizona to put them over the top to get into the playoffs and knock one of those Central Division teams out. So I like Arizona's chances better than Edmonton just because I think their defense and goaltending is more solid, and I think they added the enough offense to be able to get over the hump.
All right, for time purposes, we've got three teams left in Vancouver, Los Angeles, and Anaheim. Let's lump the Southern California teams together. Clearly the Kings are in a rebuild, new coach as well. Yeah. Anaheim finally moving on from their longtime coach. So where do you see, you know, Ducks and Kings right now and what are clearly kind of rebuilds for both, especially Los Angeles?
Yeah, it's especially a rebuild in L.A. They still have those pieces in Kopitar and Doughty. We'll see what happens with Quick. I could see Jonathan Quick eventually getting traded here because Jack Campbell taking over as number one. Todd McClellan behind the bench. I mean, it's going to take some patience there. They have some good players, but they have a number of guys who are going to try to be coming up. They have a good farm, you know, a good prospect base that they've got to build and into NHL players. The Ducks are closer because they've built a good prospect base into guys who are ready to play in the NHL. The question is, are they ready to compete in the NHL right now? And I'm not 100% sure about that. So I think it's going to be long seasons for LA and Anaheim, but a solid season for them if they see some of their young guys really push the envelope, develop, get to the next phase, and then they could have a lot of hope for next year, I think.
And then Vancouver, they had a great start to the season, if you remember last year, you know, cosmetically stayed in this race much longer than people thought. You had mentioned earlier that they pick up Tyler Myers on the blue line, which is going to help. But where do you see at their stage right now? Can they take the next step?
Well, I don't think that they will take the next step yet just because I don't think they have enough high-end guys. Pettersson is really good. Besser is, you know, he's a scorer. But, you know, Quinn Hughes is going to be a number one defenseman in the NHL, but he's a rookie. A lot to ask for a rookie to be a number one defenseman. They acquired JT Miller from Tampa, and that's nice. And then they signed JT Miller to a 5-year deal, which I wouldn't have done. It's not because of JT Miller. It's just because they have like 5 JT Millers.
Right.
You know? Like that,
yeah, you're right.
That's the thing. They have a lot of that player. So who among a grouping of players is going to step up and help out as a frontline scorer? I don't know that any of them will. So I think that they're a team I think they'll be a good team. I think they'll be in the race. I think they'll be hanging around below the line, but hanging around, and people will be like, ooh, don't sleep on Vancouver. Oh, Vancouver won 3 in a row. There they are. But in the end, I just don't think they're going to have enough pop to get in.
All right, Dan Rosen does a tremendous job on NHL.com. He's all over the place, and I'll probably see you at the Garden sooner than later, maybe Thursday, when it all gets started out. But thank you so much for this. I really do appreciate it, man. Enjoy the holidays, okay?
All right. Thanks, Donnie.
All right, that's Dan Rosen again. Great job on NHL.com. Let's close it out with some of your tweets. Forever TH says, welcome back, everyone. What was your take for the Oilers to finally get back to contention so we see McDavid in the playoffs? We just heard it from Dan. Got to get the goaltending. They've got to just get more of an effort out of everybody. It can't just be about Draisaitl and McDavid, but full disclosure, in my predictions for ESPN, I do have Connor McDavid as the MVP of the league. I think he's going to have a breakout season. I think Edmonton will be improved, and that's going to allow him to just have an amazing season. I think he'll take home the Art Ross Trophy for the points, and I think he'll bring home the MVP because I think Edmonton can compete for a playoff spot, and I think McDavid is going to just have a huge year. I wanted to think outside the box. Everybody's on the McKinnon bandwagon. I wanted to kind of change that up a bit. David Hines says, which coach do you see is on the hot seat for this season, and who might be the likely first to go after a bad start? Well, since we're doing a Western Conference preview, I've got my radar on Paul Maurice in Winnipeg. Many people thought he could have been fired a couple of years ago. Then they had that run to the conference final. Disappointing season last year as far as not taking that next step, getting bounced in the first round. And now with that blue line, a lot of problems there. You just wonder, can Paul Maurice survive a non-playoff season or a team that's going to get bounced out of the first round again? So that would probably be somebody that I would look at there. And of course, as Dan said, you look at Peter Laviolette, he's kind of of has an expiration date in all the different places he's been in, and that expiration date seems to be fast approaching there in Nashville if they get bounced early. Again, Victor says, very excited for game misconduct to be back. Predators and Avalanche made some big changes. Could be the new playoff matchup. We are upset. Isn't the Western Conference final. That's right. It was always the Jets and the Predators. Maybe it'll be the Predators and the Avalanche. We'll see. I think Dallas, people are sleeping on the Stars, man. I think that team can be every bit as good as the Avalanche, and we'll see. They finally got people for Sagan and Ben to play with. They've got a goaltender who's been there, done that. But, yeah, the Predators and the Avalanche are also the class of the Central Division. I think those teams have leapfrogged past a lot of teams in the Central. But, boy, you got the defending Stanley Cup champion Blues, the Predators, who are the perennial champions of that division. But the Avalanche, Stars, I mean, you got to really keep up with the Joneses there in that conference. Sam says, welcome back, Don. So happy that hockey and game misconduct is back. The Sharks, Blues, and Avalanche will make some noise in the West, but neither team will be better than the Golden Knights with their strong top six, solid D and goaltending. They're my pick to rep the conference in June. Well, you heard from Dan as well that there's really just not a hole on that team. And so what could they have done last year if they held on to not only that 3-1 series lead, but that 3-0 third period lead? And if they could have found a way to score in overtime after tying the game late, who knows, maybe the Vegas would have went to the Stanley Cup final instead of the St. Louis Blues. I mean, who knows? Courtney says, yay, welcome back, guys. First, are there any significant rule changes this year? And second, how much does losing Pavelski have an impact on the Sharks? I have no idea who is going to win the Central, but I'll say Vegas in the Pacific. Thanks. Pavelski's certainly a loss. But you heard, you know, guys like Meyer and Gaudreau and LeBanc, these are guys that are going to have to take the next step for the San Jose Sharks, and their goaltending just flat out has to be better. So those are probably bigger concerns than Pavelski being out of the lineup. And, of course, the big rule changes is that goal in that Blues-Sharks game that was disallowed on the hand, or not seen with a hand pass, down that now is going to be reviewable. So that's a good thing in the National Hockey League. Let's see. Let's scan a few more here before we say goodbye. Chris says, good to have you back. I have Colorado heavy predictions. I've got McKinnon for the Hart Trophy. I've got Makar for the Calder, which is the Rookie of the Year, and the team to reach the finals. What say you, and is goaltending their Achilles heel? Well, Grubauer's never been in that situation, so that's something certainly to keep an eye on. Also, as we were talking about earlier in the podcast, with such a deep division, are those teams going to really devour themselves during the course of the year just to be able to get to the playoffs? The fourth or fifth best team in that conference could be one of the best teams in the league, and they're going to have to settle for the wild card. That's how deep the Central is. And when you're trying to kill yourself to make the playoffs, is that going to hurt you where maybe the second or third place team in the Pacific is going to lock down a playoff spot early and not have to compete the way the fourth and fifth place teams in the Central are going to do it? So that's certainly something to keep an eye on. All right, tomorrow we're going to take the day, because Wednesday is when we're going to nail down E.J. Raddick for an Eastern Conference preview. So digest the West here. We went as in-depth as we possibly could. We'll be back Wednesday. That's when E.J.'s available. He's going to be our weekly on Monday throughout the season, but he was unavailable the first couple of days of this week. So we wanted to tap into Dan to get the Western Conference preview. We'll talk to E.J. on Wednesday to get an extensive Eastern Conference preview. And, of course, Wednesday will be opening night in the National Hockey League, so we'll be able to touch on that as well. If you want to get in touch with me, the best way to do it, it's always the way to do it, at Don LaGreca, hashtag game misconduct. Really good to get things started, get things rolling. Back with you on Wednesday with an East preview. This is Don LaGreca, and this has been the Monday edition of Game Misconduct.
Thanks for listening to the Game Misconduct podcast. Looking for more Don LaGreca? Hear him on the Michael K. Show weekdays from 3 to 7 p.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York and worldwide on the ESPN app. And don't forget to subscribe to the Game Misconduct podcast wherever you get your podcasts.